welcome to the Flatbridge Ed podcast series.
Hey everybody, Eric back with you. Today we're going to go through a real quick podcast, maybe 8 to 12 minutes, and we're going to talk about something called delirium. And the title of the podcast is Sedation Equals Delirium, and this is a recipe for disaster. So I came across an article in the Society of Critical Care Medicine Journal, and it kind of goes along with a podcast we did earlier on in the year, the kind of the middle of last year, called Treat the Pain, Forget the Paralysis, and we had over 3,000 downloads just on that one podcast. So it seemed like people really enjoyed that podcast. It was very quick, and I feel like this kind of ties into that, and it gives us a little bit more understanding of how delirium, how sedation, and pain management plays into our patients' overall morbidity, mortality, and how it plays into their overall care that they need after they have a severe illness. I know we said in the last podcast that we're going to kind of go through a three-part cardiac series. We're going to look at LVAS and ECMO, and we plan on doing that. Just bear with me. Sometimes I get inspired by something else, and I feel like I'm led to share this information. So again, let's just get started. This article is in, like I said, the Critical Care Medicine Journal of the Society of Critical Care Medicine. It's February 2014. Issue volume 42. The article is called Delirium in the ICU and Subsequent Long-Term Disability Among Survivors of Mechanical Ventilation. This goes along with another article, and I'll have to find it. I can't remember right off the top of my head, where they have shown that when we treat our patients that are mechanically ventilated in the ICU, and we give them large doses over multiple days of benzodiazepines rather than giving them large doses of pain management like fentanyl drips, patients are have a higher mortality rate. They stay on the ventilator quite a bit longer, and time to discharge is lengthened out. And so what they've identified is that by giving our patients large doses of fentanyl, going up to about 750 mics an hour of fentanyl, and we know that fentanyl is a great medication that only has analgesic effects. It's great with blood pressure. I'm not going to really drop your blood pressure. And over 5 mics per kilo, we have great sedative effects as well. So we're treating the pain, and we're treating the sedation. Imagine if you were laying here and you actually put a garden hose down your throat. Imagine the pain and the discomfort that you would have with that. So I think when I was taught in medicine as a new paramedic, we were taught once we intubated a patient RSI-wise, we would give them, you know, the Vecuronium, the long-acting paralytic, and we've talked about that in podcasts where we're getting away from doing that we need to, again, treat the pain, treat the sedation. But we were specifically taught to give a pretty good dose of Versed, and I still see that industry-wide, especially in the EMS realm, not the HEMS realm, where, you know, doses are as high as 0.1 milligrams per kilogram. So, you know, that's a massive dose that's going to really drop the blood pressure. And then you have what's called delirium. And so I've always believed that when we practice medicine as critical care providers, or if you're practicing medicine as a paramedic or an RN in an ER or ICU, we have to think about the clinical course, and we have to think about everything that we do from the time we see that patient has an effect on their mortality, their morbidity, and their clinical course days from now. So everything we do is a big deal in how they're going to manage that illness. And so I really believe that looking at studies like this, even though it's an ICU-based study, we can really learn a lot from that study, and we can apply those learning tools that they've gained from these studies, and we can apply that to our clinical practice. So that's why I felt led to talk about this topic. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of this paper. If you remember from my podcast that we talked about earlier, Treat the Pain, Forget the Paralysis, we talked about not giving paralysis after intubation, treat high doses of fentanyl, a little bit of Versed or Valium for the sedative aspects. And we said that we often forget when we paralyze a patient, we often forget because they're just laying there, we forget to treat the pain and we forget to treat the sedation. So this article, and I encourage you to look it up, read it. If you do get this journal, you know, look it up. It's on, again, page 369. They looked at a small sample of patients over 1 month, but they had a great amount of data based on that, and I thought that they did the study very, very well. And what they looked at is not only did they look at increased mortality and morbidity, but they looked at the disability after a patient's had a severe illness like sepsis, severe sepsis, ARDS, based on how much benzodiazepines they were given in the ICU while they were on the mechanical ventilation. And what they found is the longer a patient was on benzos, whether it's Valium or Versed, their disability actually increased once they were discharged if they even made it out of the hospital. So what does that mean? Well, basically what that means is they lost cognitive function. They weren't able to take care of themselves like they were prior to having this severe illness. They excluded patients that maybe had a head injury and had, you know, any brain deficits secondary to that injury. But basically, were they able to clothe themselves? Were they able to pay their bills? Were they able to take care of themselves like they were before? And what they found was, again, these patients that were given large doses of benzos over multiple days had a very poor prognostic result from that. Basically, what this tells me is that the more Versed, the more benzos that they were given in the ICU while on the mechanical ventilation, once they were discharged, if they even made it out of the hospital, their disability was actually increased on the patients that got those longer, larger doses of benzodiazepines. And they identified this because of if a patient got 5 days of Versed throughout the day, throughout their care, versus a patient that was on the mechanical ventilator for 2 days, those patients that were on the mechanical ventilation were given those large doses of benzos. They actually had a poor prognosis. Their clinical course after being discharged was very, very poor. So this kind of leads us back to what I've been teaching in our review courses around the country and what I've been seeing in these level one facilities around where I practice as a flight paramedic. These level one ICUs are giving large doses of fentanyl. They're giving very, very little benzos. And again, if you maximize your fentanyl dose, remember most protocols that I see, they have a huge fentanyl dose range, and it's usually one mic per kilo with really no max. I know for the company I work for, we really don't have a high point. We just have to make sure that we maintain hemodynamic stability throughout. So we have a great range with your fentanyl. Treating a patient that's been that's septic, that's maybe ARDS or is in a traumatic state secondary to an injury, and they're on a mechanical ventilator, you got to remember the pain is the biggest aspect of how we need to treat them. It's not the sedation. So we need to be optimizing our fentanyl doses. We need to be given fentanyl doses more often. We need to understand that your fentanyl is going to be very stable on your blood pressure. And use another medication if you want to give a benzo, or I should say if you want to give something for sedation and you have the capability to do that, use ketamine. Ketamine, remember, is a non-barbiturate anesthetic, and it's 2 milligrams per kilogram, great bronchodilatation effects, very stable hemodynamically. So again, for those very unstable patients, it actually has a lot of analgesic effects as well. So again, you're treating that pain. It's got very good sedative effects, and you're not going to see the same problems. So why does these patients suffer from problems later on? Well, here's the way the research and the science is showing. If you think about us as individuals, we all are on a set pattern. We're all on a sleep cycle. If you give a patient large amounts of benzodiazepines, they're going to be in a state of delirium, right? We're giving them sedatives. But basically, these sedatives, as they build up in your system, they don't allow these patients to truly sleep and rest. So their sleep cycle is now messed up. When they should be sleeping, they're awake. When they shouldn't be sleeping, they're sleeping. And it messes their rhythm up, and it causes an increased stress response to their body that's already sick. As you know, most patients that are septic or in septic shock have a decreased adrenal production. They have decreased cortisol levels, and so oftentimes we have to be treating that with hydrocortisone and steroid replacement. Post giving volume and pressors, that's going to be your third line thing. So imagine now you have another aspect, this delirium that causes the body to be in a state of constant stress. It's a bad thing. And again, we forget that the patients need pain management, not sedation. And we have a great medication like fentanyl. A lot of these level 1 ICUs are using remifentanil. Remifentanil is a more fast-acting form of fentanyl. It's got a shorter half-life than fentanyl does. And so they're using that quite a bit now as remifentanil. So again, this podcast is meant to just kind of remind us. This is a really great study. I encourage you to read it. That reminds us that we need to be giving lower and lower doses of benzos, higher and higher doses of fentanyl. Watch that blood pressure. Use ketamine if you have that ability. Use other medications that aren't going to cause the delirium. And I think our patients are going to have better clinical courses down the line. And again, we have to start that care. We're the first line people that take care of these patients, whether you're in an ambulance, your patient's in an ER, or you're a flight paramedic or flight nurse on the helicopter. We start that care. We have to think about the clinical course, and we need to treat our patients accordingly. So please read this article. If you have any questions regarding this, please email me at eric@flightbridgeed.com. I want to encourage you guys to look at our website. We have published our second book. It's called the Fast Exam Prep Book. That stands for Flight Bridge Ed, Air and Surface Transport Exam Prep. It encompasses about 350 plus questions, very tough questions with extensive rationale on the back, quick test tips throughout the book, and you can find that on our website, or you can find it on Amazon.com. On our website, you can actually purchase our complete FPC CFR and review guide and the book as a package deal for much cheaper than buying them separate. So I encourage you to look at that. Again, thank you so much for following us, and we look forward to meeting you sometime in the future. Thank you. We want to thank you for following Flight Bridge Ed.